technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
When Kid ran into that head coach, and we brought that one, Marshawn Lynch saying, "I'm just here so I won't get fined, so we don't have to answer questions." That's an outside-the-box loophole, but it's a good call.
Spot on, because he played the system. He didn't get fined, didn't answer any questions. I think that's a really good call.
He didn't, he never got fined for that, right?
No.
Nope. He should have. He probably should have.
Oh,
yeah. He's definitely re-circumvented the will there. Like, he probably should have.
Did you see him? He was, he's all over the place, and he just speaks his truth no matter what and says whatever he wants. He was in the end zone making Russell Wilson give him handoffs before the game the other night.
I saw that.
Yeah. And that's, I was funny. Like, man, he's all over.
Do you see the speaking of Russell Wilson? Do you see the Steelers are reportedly are going to go to Russell Wilson to start?
Like, why? What? Just they're 4-2. Justin Fields may not be your prototypical pocket passer, but he's got them to 4-2. I don't think that they should just not necessarily say, "Oh, Russ is ready. It's his job." I don't believe that at all.
I would stick with Fields. I can understand the idea of wanting to see what Russell Wilson looks like in your scheme, getting an idea, then making an educated decision, all of that. But why not wait until a loss at least?
No doubt.
Like, just wait till you lose a game and then see what it looks like.
Yeah, you're in a good spot. Your division had some teams that are underachieving as well. But you're in a good spot to be a playoff team right now. And so don't rock the boat until you have to.
So weird. Now, Pelissero is the one that reported that Mike Tomlin today was asked, and he said, like, everything's on the table, paraphrasing.
I mean, the report that I saw was saying that he was in line to start, not necessarily, or given the chance to start.
First-team reps and practice.
Yeah, not too, necessarily that it's 100% locked. The only thing that came out of there that kind of made me give it a little bit of the rock side eye. And maybe this is overblown for the impact on the locker room, but there was a quote that came out where Mike Tomlin said it didn't really matter what the results on the field were. Sometimes it's not about, I think the exact quote was, sometimes it's not about what you did or didn't do, so we might just have to make this move. It's like, I mean, what does that tell the other
players?
Sounds
like Kevin Stefanski.
What does that tell the other players in the locker room that are competing to get starting jobs? It doesn't matter what we do on the field. What are you talking about?
That's weird.
Because the factors here are, if you were looking at it and saying, they're saying that Justin Fields has a chance to be the long-term solution for Pittsburgh, but that Russ was basically a one-year fix-it. But you don't need the fix-it of Russ because Fields is doing enough to have fixed it to have a 4-2 record. But they're saying, because if you go to Russ now, you probably don't have Justin Fields back next year, no matter what, unless they throw a ton of money.
You got to do some damage control. Like, he's not going to be happy. He might be a professional and do the right thing, and I expect him to do. I expect Fields to do that, but yeah, he's not going
to
be
interesting to hear what the locker room thing is, because we know Russ was a popular in Seattle.
Like, that's the, like, if you're 4-2, play the guy that gives you the best chance to win.
Yeah.
And if you're currently winning, then continue it until you lose. I'll push back respectfully, Brian. I'm going to push back at you respectfully, kindly. Pelissero's tweet said that the Steelers plan to give Russell Wilson first team reps in practice this week, putting him in line to make his season debut and start Sunday night against the Jets.
Yeah, the term, this is what I was saying, putting him in line feels like the reporter at that point is then
putting him in line to start. Okay, I see where you're coming from.
Like, it's, to me, that's him putting his own opinion in, not necessarily what Tomlin has told them.
Tamara,
like
who's our...
He's an interpreter.
Yeah, it is kind of... You can lawyer that. I see where you're coming from now. I read that as he's going to start, but maybe there is an out to that report that I didn't see the first time. Tamara says Tomlin did not definitely say Wilson would start. However, he didn't definitely say yes or
in
no.
The mix, yeah.
You're also not going to tip your hand. Like, if you're going to make the... If you're trying to decide between two quarterbacks, you're not going to tip your hand unless you're Gerard Mayo for whatever reason. That was kind of odd how they handled that. Speaking of passing and speaking of the passing game, Tank Dell was fantastic, which, I mean, if you know ball, you would knew that was coming. Tank Dell is still the same guy that he was last year. He just hasn't had the volume that he had last season for obvious reasons, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world that Tank didn't have tremendous volume because Nico was playing at a high level. Stephon Diggs was playing at a high level. It's kind of nice to not have to use Tank Dell to take 10 to 12 hits per game. I kind of like the low volume, having him as wide receiver number three, but you knew it was there. The demise of Tank Dell great. Exaggerated. What were your thoughts on the passing game, first game without Nico Collins?
I think just to get through the first game, it helped you were playing a team like New England, but I thought that they passed with flying colors. The fact that they were throwing the ball around the field, they didn't necessarily need the deep ball because the running game was working. And getting Mixon back, getting Tank into a situation where he's getting the football more, and the fact that you could work through, you know, who's going to be on the field in different situations, because we saw some Metchie, we saw Hutchinson, we saw different guys. I think that it was the perfect 1 week, first week without Nico, the way everything went, because it was the perfect storm of the running game was very impactful, even in the passing game. But that Tank got more of the kind of touches we were accustomed or expecting to see from him. And now you go forward where it's going to be a better test, and the more answers are going to come from what happens this week with a better secondary and a better defense to see if you're still able to do those things and get those kind of results.
Yeah, I'm happy with it 1 week in. Like, you have enough weapons offensively to still make it work. C.J. Stroud's a really good passer. You can make it work. This passing game and this offense, especially the help of Mixon, but this passing game can survive without Nico Collins. Hopefully he's only out for the four games, because then you get him back really, really soon. But the offense is going to be just fine. The passing game is going to be just fine. Would you rather have Nico? Yes, obviously. Can you keep your head above water the games that Nico Collins is out? Yeah, you absolutely can.
I think it also goes back to what we said at the start of the year. I think from time to time, you may be disappointed or questioning, why isn't so-and-so getting the ball more? But because there's so many mouths to feed and so many talented receivers on this offense, they are going to switch throughout going from game to game and game plan to game plan, one, to keep the defense on their toes, but two, because of how the matchups lie and who they're playing. And so Nico was leading the league in receiving for a reason.
Still is, by the
way. Early in the season. But at the same time, it didn't mean that Tank was never going to get his time to shine.
And I thought it was foolish too. Oh, this Tank Dell is no longer any good. I mean, watch the game. Like, when he was being targeted, he was still the same guy.
Yeah, this isn't
He's still
Pierce.
Getting separation. He just wasn't getting the volume because there are other guys who were having better seasons through those, you know, first five games of the year. For what it's worth, they also cut out the jet sweeps with Tank, Tyler, and Conroe. I think you'll still get more of those. I don't think that those are gone completely.
No, I think they've that's part of his versatility there. That gives you an opportunity to see him get more touches. For Tank, it's all about the touches, because an explosive play can happen in a variety of different ways. And that's why I think that, you know, he's going – people saying, well, he's not the same Tank. You're not going to have a fall off like you had with Dameon Pierce. Tank is still the same Tank. It's just you've got a whole lot of new talent on this roster that you got to try and work your way through if you're Bobby Slowick.
The thing that annoys me with that like conversation, though, is that you could literally see the Tank is still Tank. He's just not having the volume. He's not having the targets. Why? Because Diggs is here, and Diggs has also been really good. Like, I have no problem that Tank was taking a back seat to Diggs, so to speak, because Diggs had been super productive.
And you don't have to apologize that the personal stats aren't what you were expecting to see if the team results are what you want, what you needed them to be, which is you're winning football games, you're productive offensively, CJ's numbers are fantastic, which means, and you have an abundance of talent, which means if an injury happens, boom, you've got enough guys to cover it, whereas last year you didn't. And the fact that at a certain from week to week, depending on how the defenses play, every guy's going to have plenty of time to shine.
Texture on the passing game. Obviously, the passing game didn't have the flashy numbers in terms of yards. That is true, but it was efficient. But overall, it was really efficient. Tank, Diggs, and Mixon all got a touchdown and then moved the ball well for a good portion of the game. It just shows what this offense potentially could be if Nico comes back and the offensive line really puts together with Mixon running the ball. Man, they could be legendary. Legend, wait for it, dairy. No, I do think that the offense has a lot of upside. To me, the question that hangs over the head of the offense as to whether they can hit their upside or not really it factors into the offensive line.
No doubt.
Like, the running game, I believe, can be really good. They have the talent there. I've been blown away with how good Mixon is, quite frankly. He had a jump cut in this Patriots game.
I just expected it.
I mean, you nailed that. You were right, and somebody wasn't. Somebody can't evaluate running backs.
I was wrong.
But
Singletary,
whatever.
Not greater sign Mixon.
He's good. Mixon's good. Really good. And then your receivers are really good. Like, Nico still leads the league in reception yards. Diggs is having a heck of a year. Tank is still super solid. I think Tank's really good. But Tank being a number three receiver, wow, what a luxury that is. The one thing that has to happen for this offense to be not even like top five in yards at the end of the season, but once you get to the playoffs, have a top three, top five offense that is playing at that level. The offensive line has to be able to match the skill.
Yeah, there's no doubt that you have to have that continuity. You can't go through what you already experienced in terms of the penalties and the lack of chemistry with the offensive line. But if they're able to continue to get better and they're able to just hold their own, it bodes well for everybody, because we talked about this a few weeks ago, that that is the one position group that affects everything you do offensively, running game, passing game, and otherwise. And then the side caveat that you still at some point are going to have, you got to have an engaged Dalton Schultz. And because at a certain point, you're going to go to the tight end, and the tight end is still going to be a weapon that factors in when CJ's pressured and different plays that you're going to call. And you've got to get something out of your tight end play more than you're getting from Dalton Schultz.
I think you can get by without
you
great.
You can get by without it, but if you want, first of all, it's not going to be a legendary offense because you're not getting Mixon in his prime. But at the same time, Dalton Schultz is supposed to be a top 10-ish tight end, and Dalton Schultz is anything but that right now.
I wonder where he gets paid. I know he's making $12 million. I wonder where that ranks in the NFL. I'm going to look that up real quick. One thing that I will say about Schultz is I think that he's kind of flipped what he's known for. Like, he gets knocked because he hasn't been a good blocker in his career. I actually see him decent in the blocking game this year. Like, he's been much better blocking.
Not last game.
No, he's pretty good.
But that you saw the one that sticks in my mind is that one where he was in motion and supposed to pick up the left side defensive end and just kind of.
I'd have to see the play.
Rolled into him with his back instead of trying to block him.
Did this guy make the tackle?
He got by him. I don't know if he made the tackle because the play was going the other way.
I think I know what you're talking about. Actually, that's one that did stand out to me. I was like, that's not great, but it didn't really impact the play, so you can kind of get away from it. He's been a better blocker this year, in my opinion, than what he's known
for. But we're talking
for.
About the efficiency and the how prolific this offense can be. He's known as a pass catcher, and
for
last
sure.
year we know, even though his numbers might have been down, when they needed big plays, he made some very big plays for this offense. And he doesn't look like the same player right now.
No, it's weird because to me, honestly, it looks like he's flipped. Because coming into this year, he's a pass-catching tight end that's very mediocre at best at blocking, and that's putting it nicely. He's been a better blocker than he has been a pass catcher this year, which is the frustration because he's not supposed to be that guy. He's 10th in money per year for a tight end.
That's
10th. And
we're just asking a whole lot more from him.
You're just asking him to be average.
Right.
Just be middle of the pack. Be top 15. Yeah, he's 10th.
That's not good.
10th. He's not playing up to.
Can't pay him like a top 10 tight end and have him be in there for his blocking.
Money motivated. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. What are your overreactions now that we're 6 weeks into the NFL season? Where's the time gone? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, a word from mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is the place you ought to be if you are going to be betting on sports. And they're the spot that I always tell you to go to because they're always constantly taking care of their customers in a variety of different ways. They're doing it now again with their match your first initial deposit up to $1,000. So that means when you sign up at mybookie.ag, use our promo code anytime and every time they ask for one. It's bet975. When you use that, when you sign up, no matter what you put in, they're going to double it up to $1,000, and you're going to see it instantly. More money in your account means more games you can bet on and more chances you can win. And they take care of you in so many other ways, too. Their website is fantastic. Their app is great. They're going to constantly keep you in touch with and in tune with everything that's going on, including the live in-game betting. You can have chats with different like-minded individuals that are gambling on sports. You can check in on the games. And they also have a tiered system of rewards now called MyBookie Plus. When you sign up with MyBookie, you're going to be entered into the MyBookie Plus program. The more you play on MyBookie, the higher the tiers you're going to go to and the better rewards once you do that, too. And they got all the sports you can bet on all the time. Soccer, golf, UFC, you name it, you can probably bet on it at MyBookie. And the other thing, too, is that even when there's games not going on or you just feel like some casino games, they have live dealers standing by. So you can play both poker and blackjack and so much more without having to fly to Vegas or drive to Louisiana. Check them out today. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use our promo code BET975 and do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What are your hot takes? What are your overreactions after 6 weeks of the NFL season? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Now, 3977, his overreaction, Schultz needs to catch the dang ball every week. We got crocodile arms, get the bad word out of here. Yeah, a lot of people are unhappy with Schultz. A lot of people are very unhappy with Schultz.
And especially if you isolate on him at any time at all, there's reason to be concerned. There's reason to ask questions. There's reasons to be disappointed with his play. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know how he could say otherwise, just from the fact that there looks like there's a lack of effort. There just looks like not a lot of want to. And there looks like he's not the same player as a year ago. And because he got paid, there's reason to question what his motives truly are.
Yeah. 1-2-6-4, overreaction. If Nico comes back after four games, the Texans only have three more losses on the schedule. Brian is texting our show, apparently, because Brian's always very, very optimistic when it comes to the Texans.
Were you at 13 wins now, B-Mac?
I was originally 11, and I bumped it up to 12 after – I don't remember what game of the season it was.
So after this week, you're clearly going to 13.
No, I'm still at 12.
Oh. Three more losses on the schedule. How many losses do you have on the schedule?
Five.
You have five left?
No, five total.
Five total. What do you have left?
Four. Yeah, because I think they go 12 and five at this point.
Simple math.
I am wearing a shirt that says 7 plus 3 equals 6.
You were a math major, right?
For a semester, and then I was like, I'm not cut out for this. I'm looking back at my start of the season predictions. I had them losing at Green Bay, which I'm going to stand by that. I don't think that they win this week. I had them losing at the Jets. I'm going to change that. I think that they'll beat the Jets in New York.
Even with Tay-Tay.
Yeah. At Dallas, I had them losing that game.
Yeah, I think they might win that game now.
Yeah, I think they could. I had them losing at Jacksonville. What an idiot I was back then. I don't have them losing at Jacksonville anymore. I had them losing at Kansas City. I'll stick by that. I had them losing versus Baltimore. I'll stick by that. So I'm flipping three games. 1, 2, 3. So I only have three more losses. I only have three more losses on their schedule. So I'm the same
Miami
as the texter.
The Miami game is definitely a different game.
I had them winning that game.
Okay.
I had them winning that game anyways.
For me, it's a different game. So I literally could change mine by about three games based on the fact that the way the league
so you're up to 13?
Out. No, I'm not. I wasn't even
close.
Remember,
preseason
I started
prediction
at 9.
Was 10 wins. We
so,
did
so
it on
I
the show.
Could get, realistically, 11 is in play, but 10 is a good number.
I have them 8-3 the rest of the way. So I guess that's 13.
That's 13.
Oh, my goodness. What's happening to me? Where's my Homer hat?
One.
Where's my Homer hat? All right, overreaction, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Hey, Keith, are you La Salsa?
Nope, this is Keith. Overreaction Tuesday. I've got...
Wait, do you love the show, Keith?
I love the show.
Okay.
recently cut Marquez Valdez-Scantling will find his way back to Kansas City, and Mike Williams will be traded... Before Sunday, he lands in Dallas on a bye week or the wide receiver injury-riddled New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
Mike Williams got a big contract,
appreciate
doesn't
it,
he?
Keith. I think, no, it's only a one-year deal. I think it's like for $10 or $11 million. So it's not crazy. Now, it wouldn't fit into everybody's salary cap, but it's 1 year and it's around $10 or $11 million. I remember I looked it up because I was comparing his contract to Lazard's.
Okay. Because I know when he signed it, everybody was like, damn, he got paid a lot.
I thought it was a three-year deal, but I could be wrong.
So I thought there was more on it.
No, this says I think that was the previous one. I think that was the one he signed with the Chargers. Okay. And then they got rid of him because of the injury. No, it's a one-year, $10 million deal.
I've seen rumors out there that he's going to be a Cowboy.
He was coming off an ACL surgery.
I saw a couple of rumors out there that he is, because he's on the trading block and the Cowboys didn't want to go all in on big names and big contracts, that they would be willing to take a swing at him.
I don't hate their receivers.
Tolbert's actually turned out to be pretty good.
I hate that they're okay.
I hate the receiver depth because, I mean, obviously CD's elite. Jalen Tolbert's stood out, but Brandon Cooks has been hurt or not playing that well.
Turpin's been okay. Brooks has been okay. Like, I don't think their problem is the receiving core.
That Tolbert doesn't get the looks without Cooks going out and that they really like the fact that happened
I like Tolbert.
They can build with him. Yeah.
I like Tolbert. And Cooks is going to come back at some point.
Yeah, but he hasn't played well this year.
At this point, does New Orleans do anything? I think that was more because of the relationship between Carr and Devontae, but I think that Shaheed's been great. I don't think that they're going to go out.
Well,
Olave
might be out for a while. He got his third concussion on Sunday. So
That
was his third.
Give him the Guardian cap.
Yeah, another one.
I think it's only year three for him because he was the same draft class as Garrett Wilson. So he's got three concussions already now in 3 years.
I didn't know it was his third. So I need to stop drafting him in best ball. Huh?
I would stop drafting him in best ball. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe only at least two of your 199
caps games.
If
no one else will, and saying you got to wear them.
You know who was wearing them yesterday? Was Tyler Rapp.
He sure was.
Tyler Rapp was, yeah.
And he was also bringing
he was.
There's a reason why he was wearing it, too, because he was all over the football field.
There was a
Patriots player wearing one, too, in the Texans game. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. I think it might have been a guard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
I know. Well, Sean, I was watching the game with Sean, and he notices all of them because he hates it with a passion.
Look at him bragging that he has friends.
How's that a
brag? He watches games with friends. All right, my biggest hot takeover reaction from week six was Sirianni brought his kids to the podium as a PR stunt. Nothing will convince me otherwise. I totally believe that Nick Sirianni brought his kids to the podium as a PR stunt to try to shield him from all the scorn he was getting from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that the other big thing is the fact that he's coming back and apologizing. He doesn't apologize, and he's just like Bill O'Brien. The only reason why is because it got more attention than he probably expected it to get. There's no way he's apologetic. There's no way he wanted to take that back because that's who he is. That's what he does, as you call him, a jabroni.
Jabroni.
But that is right down Main Street for Nick Sirianni, and he wanted to do all of that.
Right down Broad. Isn't that the big street there? Broad Street? I think it
Broad
is.
Broad Street, yeah. Philly, the Flyers were the Broad Street Bullies.
There you go. Look at him bragging that he knows hockey. All right, Brian, what is your overreaction?
I'm bragging about everything you say. Just bragging about everything. My overreaction is Brock Powers is going to make Sam Laporta's rookie tight end reception record a one-year record and break it this year. Especially
catches?
The record is 86 catches by Laporta. Bowers already has 37 through six games, and now Davante Adams is out. Who else? I mean, Jacoby Myers is obviously a pretty
deep. He missed it last week.
He did.
He had an ankle injury. Missed his last game.
So I think Brock Bowers is going to break that record in
86 catches.
Unfortunately, make it a 1 year record for Sam Laporta.
I got a lot of Bowers stuck. Lots of Bowers stuck. So I'm pleased with this. Laporta's been a major disappointment.
He has.
Major disappointment.
Yeah, he really has. But he was dinged up, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He's been a little dinged up.
When you look at that, the fact is Bowers. There's people saying that, is he really a tight end? Is he more of a slot?
The Jimmy Graham conversation from years past.
Definitely a receiving tight end.
Yeah, he's a receiving tight end.
He's what Dalton Schultz is supposed to be.
But, he's tight end position eligibility. So.
Yeah, right. It's like, what's his name with the Falcons?
Oh, Kyle Pitts? Yeah, Pitts. Kyle Pitts almost never lines
right.
up the block.
He stinks, too.
Right, yeah.
Overrated, like Kyle Pitts. What's your overreaction, Blinker?
The overreaction is a lot of people saying that Musgrave in Green Bay is and will be a better tight end than Kraft.
Really?
Packers got really lucky in the fact that they took the kid from the small school as a backup in Kraft.
And Where's he from?
Turned out to be from South Dakota State, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that now.
Yeah, and it's like the fact that people still think that Musgrave's going to be playing somewhere else very soon because LaFleur doesn't like him, and he's been a complete disappointment for a tight end taking that high.
I think they'll just write him out, though, right? I mean, you have 2 years left in the deal. He'll probably just be a roster guy. He'll be a second, third-string tight end.
Yeah. It's kind of like what the Ravens did when they drafted both Andrews and Hayden Hurst really high, and they just – well, Andrews is the good one, but we'll go ahead and let it ride out, and then Hayden Hurst moved
on. It's like looking at New England's tight ends last weekend. Like, at a certain point, if you had those guys both on your roster when they were in their heyday, you'd have had two really good tight ends, and now it's like, man, those guys are still in the league?
I don't mind when teams do that. It's like, okay, we have a positional need. Let's draft two guys. One of them will emerge as the starter, and then whoever does not, well, we got positional depth. Mm-hmm. I don't hate that idea.
Washington back in the day. When they
quarterback.
They took RG3 in the first round. They took Cousins in, what, the third?
Fourth.
There's rumors that Shanahan wanted them to trade RG3 after his rookie year because they liked Cousins more and didn't really believe in RG3. And Snyder was like, nope,
you
not
like
going to happen. Rookie
like
of the
that?
Year. NFC North is easily the best division in the NFL.
Well, that's not an overreaction.
Every single team in that division is at least two games above 500. Every single team's at least two games
worst
above 500.
Worst record in the division is 4-2.
It's insane.
Yeah, I saw one of the links on our Google Doc, one of their overreactions was every team in the NFC North will make the playoffs.
Marcus Spears said that today on air, and I have a hard time seeing how that is going
to
be possible.
I disagree with all four making it, but it goes to Jeremy's point of it being the best division in football. Like, it's a legit conversation that all four can make it. I do think there will be one team left out, but you could have what happened. What was it, the NFC or the AFC North last year where every team finished above 500? Yeah. I do believe that happens.
One thing that really hurts that argument, though, is there's only been one divisional game. So they haven't been able to cannibalize themselves.
Minnesota beat Green Bay. Yeah.
That's the only divisional game that has happened. Yep. So, that's only one. So every team has Minnesota and Green Bay have 5 divisional games left. Detroit and Chicago have 6 divisional games left. So that's going to cannibalize
the
record.
They're going to beat the hell out of
each other. Yeah, it's going to cannibalize the record. But, yeah, that's, I mean, every team in that division would be at least tied for first place in every other division in the NFC. Washington's 4-2, Atlanta, Tampa Bay 4-2, and then NFC West is being led by 3-3 San Fran and Seattle.
Yeah, think about where we were at the start of the year in terms of the divisions. I think a lot of us thought either AFC North was the best division in football. Because of the teams that they had,
see, I was a little bit out on the AFC North. That wasn't me. I think that was a popular opinion.
Of, like, Steelers quarterbacks.
Yeah,
that was definitely a big reason why.
And then if it wasn't then, it wasn't the NFC East, was it? Because Dallas, Philadelphia.
Everyone thought the Giants would be terrible. So
I can't remember.
I don't think it was them.
But I don't think anybody took the NFC North.
I think I said the AFC East, actually.
Yeah, I don't think anybody said the NFC North at the start of the year. And now look at just how loaded they are. And no one thought Minnesota was going to be this good.
Because you expected Detroit to kind of, you know, be the divisional champion, Green Bay to be the playoff team. We thought Minnesota was going to suck. And then Chicago to be maybe a 500 team.
Like they were the sexy slide into the playoffs this year. But at the time, no one would have predicted the entire division to have the kind of wins that they've had.
All right, anything else?
I think after years of being the absolute worst division in football year after year after year, NFC South is getting 2 teams in the playoffs this year. I think the Falcons and the Buccaneers both make it.
I think just one.
I think the NFC South's a little underrated. I think it's a little underrated. I think that could happen.
Both
4-2 right now.
I thought the Saints would be better the way they started than they did, but it's definitely between if Tampa and Atlanta both.
Well, I don't need the Saints to make it. I'm talking Bucks and Falcons.
Yeah, Bucks and Falcons. Look, Baker's been impressive. I didn't think he was going to be this good.
All right, who's in your doghouse? 713-780-3776. Who is in your doghouse? Can be anything. Can be NFL. Could be the missus. Who is in your doghouse and why? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Who's in your doghouse? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Who is in your doghouse? Real quick, before we get into the dogs in the doghouse, the Houston Texans have made a trade. They have sent Cam Akers to Minnesota. This trade's hilarious. The Texans are getting a 2026 conditional 6th-round pick in exchange for Akers and a 2026 conditional 7th-round pick. So your run-of-the-mill, late-round pick swap, Cam Akers headed to Minnesota, which is probably a testament to the Texans being comfortable with Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce as RBs 1 and 2.
I think we knew about Joe Mixon. We didn't know from all the hype we had heard about Damian Pierce. I think this tells us all we need to know that they believe in him so much that they're willing to get rid of one of their insurance policies that we thought was a pretty good backup.
Yeah, and maybe it was what he did against New England. And then from a Minnesota perspective, Aaron Jones is a little dinged up. Maybe it's not great news on the Aaron Jones front.
I think that's a great call. We were talking about it during the break, and I think that's big because the reason why Green Bay pulled the plug on him is he's great when he plays, but last couple of years he doesn't play a whole lot. And maybe this is a sign that he ain't going to play for a while.
So good deal. Texans, they get something for their 4th-string running back. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine trade. No, I feel okay about this trade. I'm good with it.
They elevate our guy, and that's it?
I wonder.
J.J. Taylor?
Well, you only get so many elevations. I think it's 5. And he's already been elevated, what, 2 or 3 times?
A couple times.
Maybe they give him the job.
That's what I'm saying. They just put him on the roster and say that's our 4th-string back.
We'll see. They have an open spot on the roster now with that addition. They're kind of replacing Autry for Edwards. And then they had the Heinisch activation, but he's not on the roster yet. It might just be him. Yeah. Maybe he just takes a spot in the Texans' carry 3 running backs.
Until they need somebody.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how they do that. All right, who's in your doghouse? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. Who's in your doghouse, Blinkers?
I mean, the way I first started thinking about this is just someone that's just a complete idiot the way they've handled things. Hassan Reddick has to be in someone's doghouse because Hassan Reddick is just a complete idiot. He's lost more than...
That's a weak dog. What a weak dog that was.
What the hell was that? You sit on a whoopee cushion?
It's a chihuahua. It does sound like a whoopee cushion.
What the heck was that?
It's actually Pat McAfee.
What a terrible dog impersonation.
It's Pat McAfee.
Jeremy and I could have done a better job just in the background here.
Whoa, that's brutal.
Sure, that's not you?
What a dud that
is. Yes, I'm quite sure it's not me. It's okay. Pat McAfee from Monday Night Raw.
All right.
That's a dud.
I mean, now they're giving him permission to seek another trade.
Rosenhaus got to do his thing.
Yeah, Drew Rosenhaus is his new agent. His agency left him. He's forfeited over $5 million.
That's a bunch of money.
And two different places. He can't find a happy medium, and they can't agree to a contract. And he said he'd like to go back to Philly first. They don't want you. Ridiculous.
Yeah, he does belong in the doghouse. I wonder if he's actually going to get traded. I kind of hope he does, just for the entertainment value of this. The first person I'm putting in my doghouse was the inspiration for this entire segment. It's Dalton Schultz. That was a little better. But Dalton Schultz has to be in the doghouse. He is the literal reason why this brain child came into existence. So Dalton Schultz, you're in my doghouse.
First guy in my doghouse is someone I've gone to bat for, thought he was underrated, thought people were talking too negatively about him in his game, but man, Kyler Murray's just too inconsistent. Yeah. I mean, they beat the Rams, it was a week or two ago, but go to Green Bay and just lay an egg. You look at his stat sheet, three of his six games, so half, are under 200 passing yards. He's only got one multiple passing touchdown game. I've gone to bat for Kyler, but man, he's not showing me anything this year.
I was concerned that he was going to run wild on the Packers defense.
Yeah, he had like 75-yard touchdown run a week or two ago.
They looked awful. I don't care about Marvin Harrison Jr. getting hurt or not. That wasn't a factor. He looked like he had a whole lot of I don't care. He was bad.
Yeah, the whole team was awful, but Kyler certainly's got to wear that one.
He did lose Marvin Harrison. Did lose his top receiver in that game.
I can't explain it all away.
Concussed.
Nope.
He is super inconsistent. He's a good best ball quarterback. He's not a good quarterback to have leading your team. He is the best athlete in the world. How many people on the entire world, have been drafted in the first round in two big professional sports? I'll wait.
I just gave you the opportunity to say
I'll
it
wait.
Again.
He is an unbelievable athlete. Likes video games a lot. King of Twitch putting me in his doghouse for timing him out. King, you did that to yourself, and it was well-deserved. 8143. These dogs, man. 8143, Stingley's in my doghouse. He cost me the first half under when he got beat by Booty.
16 seconds left.
Yeah.
That ought to be a tough ride. You're thinking they're counting your money, and then boom.
Really, Jalen Petrie should be in your doghouse, too, for allowing that drive to be born. Wheatstraw, my employer is in my doghouse, making me work 80-plus hours a week for the last 3 months. It's good for the bank account. All right, what else is in your doghouse, Blinkers?
Jerry Jones has to be in the doghouse.
Oh, good call.
Jerry Jones is just a complete idiot. I don't care how much money you have. No matter how much money you had, it can't hide the idiot. How big of an idiot you still are.
Yeah, good call. I'm going to put Keon Coleman in my doghouse. He hurt Kamari Lassiter. That offensive pass interference when he yanked Lassiter down, hurt his spatula, whatever that thing is called.
Scapula.
Spatula's ruined. The spatula's never going to be the same. I blame Keon Coleman for ruining the spatula of Kamari Lassiter. So Keon Coleman's in my doghouse.
That's a good call. I'm going to go outside the sports world, kind of here. I'm going to throw a local restaurant in my Kingwood area. Should I name them by name?
Yeah.
All right, screw it. Three B's Grill in Kingwood.
So they have the Major Market Burger.
They do. Yes, they do. Shout out to that other Major Market host. But look, it's a great spot. The food's great. It's a great spot to watch the game. So where's the negative? The negative is, Jeremy, have you been there? You used to live in the area.
I have actually been there once.
What would you call that place? Like, what type of restaurant is it?
Fast casual? I'm guessing.
He's probably going to say sports bar.
Boom, sports bar.
Kind of meh.
Well, you walk in there, there's got to be two dozen TVs at least. It lines every inch of the exterior wall. There's TVs above the bar. There's TVs on this pole in the middle of the room. There's TVs everywhere. All have games on. There's sports. There's jerseys and the sports team logos all across the top of the wall. But if you go in there and ask them, hey, the Texans are on. Can you put on the audio instead of this top 40 music mix you got to go? It's like, oh, we're not a sports bar. We have to appeal to everyone. Like, look at your restaurant.
Was anybody cutting rug and dancing?
No, there's no dancing.
Vibing?
I'll take a picture next time I'm in there because it's still a great place, but it's such a sports bar. There's TVs everywhere. Every art decoration is a sports team jersey or a logo. And they'll look at you and go, yeah, we're not a sports bar. We're going to keep the music on. We got to appeal to everyone. Like, what are you talking about?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's 2024. They can identify as whatever they want.
That's true. They can. That's right.
Someone asked, it wasn't John Elway a first rounder in two sports? Elway was a second rounder in baseball.
Was he?
Second rounder. So he's close.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he used it in the bargaining.
Yeah, that's interesting though with the TVs there. I have a 3Bs in my area, but I don't think they're related at all. I think they're two totally different things.
I know there's multiple locations.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I can't
that,
tell you if they're the same.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Just
call
Papoo on the Bs.
Yeah, there's three of them.
Yeah.
We have three, too. 8835, Calvin Ridley, zero receptions this past game, 4 years, $92 million. I was saying that Calvin, not to pat myself on my back, but I thought that he was overrated last year.
Then he aired it out after the game.
Well, one of the things he aired it out about, this could be an additional dog, the whole target stat, because there was a reporter that's like, hey, you had eight targets, and Calvin looked like, what? Are you kidding me? I didn't have eight targets. But they'll credit someone with getting a target, even if that pass airmailed 20 yards
away
over their head, or if it's tipped at the line of scrimmage, it goes nowhere. The whole target thing is completely broken.
He's like, I need some early, too.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley had to say. All right, you already said yours. Someone vouched for you, too. Said 3Bs is definitely a sports bar, Brian. So
yeah, it's 100% sports. It's a great place, but put only on game audio.
One more?
Sure.
Deshaun Watson.
I don't mind that he's in the dog pound.
I love it.
He's
he
in,
plays
the,
hey, plays in the dog pound.
I was going to say, no better place than the dog pound to put him in the dog house because he has been dog bad his entire existence with the Browns. I love it. But the fact you can't sit him because the owner won't let you sucks for Browns fans. But, yeah, it's better than as long as it's not here.
Nick Sirianni in my dog house for being a jabroni in Philly. Sorry, Chewy.
He was on my list.
Nick Sirianni's a jabroni. Last one for you, Brian.
Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the dude, look, he's supposed to be the best quarterback in football. Maybe this is a fantasy burn more than anything else.
Absolutely. They're undefeated.
But he's got...
Yeah, I was like, where are you going with this?
But he's got an interception in every game. He's got a worse quarterback rating than Trevor Lawrence. You know, interception percentage, you know, percentage of your throws that turn into interception. He's the third worst in the league behind two quarterbacks. Joel, I did this mostly for you. You know who the
Love.
Two quarterbacks are?
Oh.
Jordan Love.
Okay.
Will Levis. Those are the only
for
two quarterbacks.
For both of us, then.
Yeah, those are the only two quarterbacks in the league with the worst interception ratio, or percentage, that is, than Patrick Mahomes.
What is the percentage based
percentage of throws that turn into an interception.
Love is that high?
Yeah, I was surprised by that, too. But I love it.
I know. That's partly why I put that in, is for your benefit.
That interception percentage is that high for Love, huh?
Yeah.
That's surprising to me. Levis is not.
Now, that's this year, not career, obviously.
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought Love was doing all right. Nick Sirianni's in the entire city of Philadelphia's doghouse, 1711, that's true. And then Honey Glaze Brandon, Pat McAfee's in the doghouse for those dog noises. That one in particular, the Chihuahua dog.
The first one was
first
awful.
One, that's doghouse. Yeah,
I don't think he planned on it being a Chihuahua, but it sure didn't sound like a whoopee cushion Chihuahua.
That one's rough. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day, 713-780-3776. What do you nominate for car wreck of the day? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wreck of the day, 713-780-3776. Honey Glaze Branham says, you think Pat was bad. Let's hear Paul do a dog noise, given his cougar noises. Hey, we have to get a Paul dog noise.
And the fact that he loves cats.
I know.
I don't know if he can get the dog bark out of it.
Our beloved coos!
That might be his dog voice, or his dog bark. It's a meow. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, coming up after us. No. Alexi Lawless is going to be here live.
Really?
Well, he's going to be on live. He'll be on live with Glenn Davis, Alexi Lalas, Marcelo Balboa, not related to Rocky, a couple of former national team players ahead of Mexico and the U.S. tonight. Dynamo midfielder, a former Dynamo midfielder, giving away Dynamo Galaxy tickets, plus much more internationally, too. Arthur, the Dynamo midfielder, that'll be on with Glenn Davis. What a murderer's
that's
row.
That's a hell of a lineup.
That is big.
You got Arthur,
yeah.
You got Alexi Lawless, Rocky's brother, Marcelo. That's a heck of a show coming up. Why do you got that smirk on your face?
I feel like this is a setup for you to take a shot at the show after Soccer Matters.
Not a dad joke like I give, but it's a Branham joke, which is just as bad.
I mean, Rocky Balboa, fictional character, and then Booker T, one half of Hall of Fame, another fictional character.
There it is. I knew that was
Brad
coming.
Brad Gilmore and fictional character Booker T coming up at 8 o'clock after Soccer Matters. Did you watch that Vince McMahon documentary?
I have 5 of 6 episodes in.
I thought it was extremely overrated.
Yeah, they didn't. Well, one, the whole thing kind of gets blown up because they filmed it all before the big allegation came out.
Yeah.
The other thing is, a lot of it was already stuff we've seen in other shows, like Dark Side of the Ring. So it was like, there were a few things I hadn't heard of before. I won't say it was completely stuff I already knew, but it was largely stuff I already knew.
I expected more scandalous stuff. I expected more drama, and I didn't get any of that.
He came out already trying to, like, to get out in front of it to protect himself.
I don't think he really needed to.
Huh.
I don't think it was that
most
bad.
Most of it, like the steroid scandal, the Ring Boy scandal, it's stuff we've heard for decades already.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any... I already thought very low and very little of Vince McMahon. I don't think any less of him. I already thought that little of him. All right, car wreck of the day.
Fair.
What do you have on your car wreck of the day?
This place? Ravens fan that had his buddy videotaping him as he went down the street, decided to find any Commanders fan and beat the hell out of him and take sucker punches, and then didn't think there was going to be any ramifications. Well, evidently, he worked for two different insurance agencies. Both have since said that he's fired. They found his name. He is getting dragged as he deserves, and he's an idiot.
That's weird. Weird behavior. Weird behavior. I'm going to nominate the World Conquer Championships. There has been scandal in the World Conquer Championships as the men's champion was found with a steel chestnut in his pocket.
What the hell
is there?
Oh, he
no,
can be bought.
Is there no morals left in sports? Now we're seeing cheating in the World Conquer Championships. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, what do you got, Brian? What do you nominate?
Jerry Jones. I'll keep it quick. Jerry Jones.
Pretty good one.
I'm going to speak for myself. I think that's the winner.
Aaron Rodgers says 6967. Jerry Jones says Josh from Seabrook. All right, what's winning? You don't want to go with the champion of the world conquers?
I'm going Jerry Jones.
I think it's Jack Callis, the idiot that decided it was cool to just run down the street and punch randos.
Yeah, he deserves to be on there too. But I don't want to give him any run. And I'm embarrassed now that we know his name. Let's go to Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones with the car wreck of the day. Congratulations. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's blank on Branham. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters right now on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.